Thanks, Ziggy, for singing with us. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Guess what? Who's here?
What voice is
who's
that?
Who's here? Who's here, Ziggers? Who is it? Who is
that's
it?
Right. Ziggy's that's, very excited.
That's how Ziggy says cat.
You never knew that's how he says cat.
Ziggy, say cat.
Hi, it's cat. I'm back again. The cat came back several weeks later. Many weeks later. I don't even know how long it's been.
You were here for episode 17,
18. Wow.
Is that how long ago that was?
Yeah, we're up to 46.
It was still dark outside. I remember that.
Oh,
I'm a little chilly.
Yep. And we were dealing with Kavanaugh.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
We had some expectations that were shattered.
Shattered. Today, too. not shattered.
I actually haven't followed through on what happened today very much yet.
My mom hasn't either. You know, she's listening right now. But she called me and said, I don't know what to do. Where do I start? I don't know what's happening. And I said, don't go on the internet.
Well, NPR was going through it on the air this morning, which... I was
had
like,
nonstop
you guys
phone
are awesome.
Notifications giving me places I could go and listen to it all day. And I was like, nope.
Oh, we should tell people what we're talking about. We're just assuming. Today is Thursday.
Yes.
The Mueller, redacted Mueller report was released.
The redacted color-coded.
Right.
Bar report 2.0, whatever we want to call it.
Well, they released the whole report, too.
They released the whole report, but a lot of it. I think they said 75% of it was unredacted, or 79%, something like that.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
There was a
good
portion.
That beats my expectations of
me
the
too.
Day.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I saw a picture of all of the PDF pictures together.
I saw people taking screenshots from individual pages and highlighting lines.
Yeah.
And then, like, just sharing that all day long. And I was like, no,
oh,
I can't.
Yeah. No.
No, I need to let
it settle.
My team of informed researchers and comedians distill it for me.
Yes.
And my team is made up of Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert,
right.
And Seth Meyers.
Seth
and the
Meyers.
Four of them
yes.
will give me three parts comedy, one part descriptive narrative.
Right.
And that's going to be the normal way I can see.
It's much more digestible that way.
It is.
You have to inject a little humor into this whole thing. Otherwise, it's it's tier worthy.
Well, all four of those people that Kat mentioned, I also get a lot of my news from them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very thoughtful about the way they deliver it.
They're really thorough. They really do present the boiled down best.
Yes.
And sometimes the worst.
Right.
Sometimes the worst for humor's effect.
Right.
But they also do great compilations. The compilations crack me up when someone uses the same line over and over again and you get to hear them say it 15 times.
Right. And Seth's closer
I have the best
look.
Words.
I love that one.
Meanwhile.
The best words.
So, Kim's got her sunglasses on because.
I do.
It's sunny in the studio, sunny in the studio.
I also have my fan, folks.
Because?
You might be able to hear it. Because it's hot flash time.
Oh, is that a season
comes
now?
Comes and goes.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. But today, it's been hot flash time. And cold flash time. Had two
cold
of
flash
those today.
Day for me today.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I'm jealous of you guys. I seriously only have the hot flashes.
They're weird. And they come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with the room. It's just like the hot flash.
And it's not
it has
like,
nothing to do with the room around us.
It's not like the chills. Like, you get the chills.
No.
Or it's not like you have the fever chills. It's a whole different cold. It's like the hot flash. It's a whole different hot.
Right.
Like, you want to rip your skin off.
Right.
And it'll end just as abruptly. Like, I will go to the trouble of the double thick fuzzy blanket. The heater is on. I've got my fingers against my skin trying to reinvigorate the mummified cold tip frozen frostbite fingers that I've got. And then out of nowhere, it'll break. And I'll be like, why am I under this giant blanket? Like, throwing the blanket off. Because normal body is like, don't huddle under a blanket. You're in a regular office and the AC is not cranked.
Right.
I throw the blanket back, and 5 minutes later, my body's like, hey, you want to be cold again? Hey, would you like that? That was fun, wasn't it?
Really? Hey, guess what? Temperature change!
This is fun. Perimenopause roller coaster.
Ooh,
So today we are going to be talking about expectations.
I was never taught the expectation that there's a thing called a cold flash.
I didn't either. Shock. When you said that earlier, I was like, what are you talking about? I've been cold, but a flash?
Yeah.
What am I, a chicken breast?
Those are tasty. If you're a meat eater, like I am.
We are not. Why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about expectations.
That sounds awesome. Woo! Oh, deep breath. So please waste my about the difference between the internal filter that affects motivations from the inside out,
right,
and then the external filter, people's expectations of me and what I do with that when it comes towards me,
right.
But then when I was looking on the internet, nobody was talking about it that way, and I was like, oh, really, seriously, is that just me? But what I did get from the internet was a reminder that there's a difference between expectations and assumptions, and even you can go further to talk about hope being significantly different than either of those.
Right.
So the first one that I got as a definition is that the expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future.
Right.
And then their example was the negative version of it. Reality had not lived up to expectations. I'm like, really? You couldn't come up with a positive one?
I noticed that on the internet. I was like, lots and lots of the examples were negative.
Talk about some inherent bias in thinking what the word expectation means, that they immediately go to didn't live up. But a strong belief it will happen.
Right.
Assumptions, a thing that is accepted as true or certain to happen without proof. So you don't have evidence, but you totally believe it's going to happen.
Right. Magical thinking, they call it.
Yeah. And it's funny because the expectation didn't talk about whether or not you had any proof or evidence or supporting reasons why to believe in an expectation, but assumption tells you specifically you ain't got nothing and you have an assumption.
Right.
But then somebody was comparing the problems with assumptions and expectations. Assumptions are unhelpful and lead to disappointment.
Mm-hmm. They make an ass out of you and me.
Yes. I had a second grade teacher show us that, and we were all shocked.
She said ass.
Oh, he was that, oh, that he, crazy.
He. Oh, look
teacher.
At our bias.
Ooh. Ooh. And there's the illustration.
But the guy teacher in the 70s could get away with writing that on the board.
I bet a woman
second
teacher
grade
would have gotten
too.
Yeah. It was like the summer fancy math silly extra goof around thing after you're done petting the zoo animals.
Right, yeah.
You could go do. Somehow they were making math exciting in the summer to second graders. I don't know. We fell into it. We were all right, sure. But the one suggestion that I did read was that expectations can be dangerous things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get attached to a particular outcome. And you lose your sense of control and you make poor decisions because believing that that's the thing. And that's where I think maybe some people in interpreting the political climate have talked about us having expectations and pinning some hopes on them.
Right.
Maybe that was not the best way to do it. But hope in the most purest form is different. And if we can convert hope into expectations, we could set ourselves up for disappointment. But if we fail to hope, that's a disservice because we stop believing in the possibility of anything good.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to have to think too hard about all that.
Well, there's there's unrealistic expectations, I think, yes, where you're, you know, what you were talking about, assuming. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's realistic expectations, like I'm going to wake up and drink coffee, and the coffee will wake me up a little bit more, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And then you have got the mundane expectations, like I have the expectation that I'm the only one that drinks the coffee in any quantity in my house, so there should still be coffee in the kitchen. Now, that's a probable expectation.
Or is it an assumption?
If it had evidence, and I had proof that I was the big coffee drinker, mm-hmm, it might be a reasonable expectation. I might be surprised, and if I've pinned all my hopes on there being coffee, and there isn't any, then I've been set up for disappointment.
Coffee's really important, as you can tell.
We have secret coffee stashes. We don't run out of coffee in our house. I mean, I've got...
Did you know that Kat runs the coffee bar of splendor at camping events, etc.?
Oh. Coffee bar of splendor.
She has saved many a life with her coffee bar of splendor.
Well, I went camping post-divorce, and I didn't know what to do with myself because I wasn't taking care of the whole anybody when I was yourself? Married kind of camping arrangement. Yeah. And I was like, well, I want coffee. And I was like, oh, well, my friends will probably want some, so I'll bring a little extra. Yeah. Ooh, I have friends that don't like coffee. I'll bring some tea. Ooh, I have friends that don't drink tea or coffee. I'll bring some hot chocolate.
Yep.
You know, I have some friends that don't drink hot chocolate. I'll bring some, spiced cider. And then I can, like, serve anything that anybody wants.
And she gets up before everyone and sets up a table.
I'm already awake.
It's crazy.
So that tells me a couple things about you, Kat. You have lots of friends, and you're very generous and empathetic.
And prepared.
And prepared.
Mm. There's a line of Virgo in there. and it got a little crazier only because the response was people peeked out of their tents and went, wait, coffee? You have coffee?
Coffee?
Oh, I'm like, yeah. And
they smelled it first.
I have extra. So people are like, wait, you have extra? So a big group ended up gathering, and there was almost like a dozen people from different tents at the very first one. This is back in 2000, mm-hmm, when we were at an event. And by the end of serving people 6 thermoses worth of hot water drink of choice, I got out a cup and I made my coffee, and people gasped, you haven't had any yet? And I'm like, well, no, I was making it for you.
Oh.
And so someone goes, I'm feeding you breakfast. Someone else goes, I'm feeding you lunch. And someone goes, well, I'm bringing you dinner. And I started trading coffee bar for meal plans, which was very, very fun.
Nice.
So that worked out really well. But
so when I was thinking about this expecting versus assuming, mm-hmm, versus hoping, I was thinking about myself, mm-hmm, what I expect of myself, mm-hmm, and how I project that onto other people,
mm-hmm,
and want them to act like I do.
Mm-hmm. With or without communication?
That's
so I'm getting better at that part.
Good.
That's what gave me the idea,
right,
about expectations, is there was an incident.
Oh, you have an incident?
Where I had put forth a communication and assumed and expected people to respond within a couple days. It was a text message.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, and I, you know, I didn't think that, I just assumed and expected people to
respond. Yeah.
And so a week went by and I didn't hear from somebody, and I texted again, didn't get a response. Ended up, you know, waited a couple more days and then made the phone call. And so I was struck with the opportunity to really unpack that, because I was irritated. I'll be frank. You know, it was like just a simple response was required. Like, I'm not sure yet. Things are going on. I'll let you know.
Right.
So here I am, like, kind of left in limbo. I don't know if the text messages have been received or delivered. I don't know if they're being ignored. I don't know if I didn't receive the response. So all of these things are going through my head. Mm-hmm. And this particular person also is, you know, typically does expect a response very quickly when they put something out.
Right.
So I assumed that that person would respond in kind, right? The way they would want others to respond to them. And it all worked out and everything, but it was a good exercise in thinking about expectations, problem solving also, and not buying into the resentment.
The resentment, So that's what I was getting at.
Expectations can just, it's fertile ground for resentment. So go ahead.
I was just, that's all I was going to say, is that expecting others to act in a certain way can lead to resentment, and I've been guilty of that myself. Like, I'm big on, like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when others aren't that way, I get mortally wounded. Like, you know, something's wrong with me. Why didn't they? You know, I used to. Not anymore.
You absorb
as much.
It.
I absorb it like it's my fault that that person flaked or whatever.
And you don't just end up saying, oh, well, I make a judgment against that person. Like, I'll blame you for your failings. You ended up blaming yourself for the setup.
It's not even that. It turns into like abandonment instantly.
Okay.
Oh, it turns into I'm not worthy of someone's time or action or energy.
Got it.
I went to that place too.
Yeah, you did, because you called me, I think, or we saw each other, and you were like, "How would you respond to this?" And I was like, "What's happening?"
Yeah, like, why am I not important enough? Like, I don't know.
I mean, in my romantic relationship, also, we've had the situation where each of us have had to demand better communication because we assumed the other one would do something a certain way, the way we wanted them to, you know? And so I've actually gotten much better because of that at thinking more clearly about my expectations of other people. And they are high, and I'm working on that.
Well, and that's, I mean, that kind of segues into, sometimes high expectations are good things.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are a setup for disappointment.
Yes.
And I think, you know, having to really look at each individual situation and occurrence as a just a very individual thing, as far as that goes, is important. Like with children, I listened to a podcast this morning, and they were talking about children and how, you know, you have to, for young children, your expectations need to be developmentally sound. You cannot expect a 3-year-old to go to a nice restaurant and sit there for 2 hours.
And be quiet, right?
Calmly, quietly, happy, and not bothering people. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can expect a 3-year-old to, you know, sit at the table for maybe 5 minutes.
Right.
And let them go. You know, they need to be free. You can't do that to them.
Yeah. So when I teach people to spin and make yarn,
which she's spinning right now, everybody, it's really cute,
and they're grown-ups, I'm expecting that they're going to kind of consume the information as a grown-up. And if they're young, I'm expecting them to be young. So I was working with a mom and a 9-year-old recently, and mom really wanted to keep reinforcing the things I had just said. Like, she just said this, you have to do this. And and I had to very, because I love both of them, I was like, it's okay, because she's 9 and she can consume this at the rate of a 9-year-old. And if she's not interested and she wants to run in the other room, I'm totally okay with that.
Because at 9, even if she doesn't know how to do it exactly, maybe it'll spark something in her head about something else completely.
And her love for focusing on anything gets to be at her own pace. And I want to encourage her that my expectation is that she gets to choose that. And mom is going to pick it up at mom's pace. And when I had a little small word with her, encouraging mom that it's okay, I totally get it, daughter's not going to be identical to mom, she's like, oh yeah, you're right. And then she goes, I did back off, didn't I? I said, you did.
Yeah.
Because even as a mom, she's like, you're right, I did figure out what you were saying, that my daughter and I are going to consume this at a different pace. And I did okay as a mom, even. I'm like, you did.
Look at you.
And I think that a lot of our attitudes about what we do with our lives are formed super early. what input and experience we end up getting about expectations, the tools to set our own expectations, the tools for the mm-hmm. expectations in the family space, the trauma that we do or do not have to endure, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many different kinds of trauma that we're going to experience or miss out on experiencing and not understand that other people are experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you could get into race
right.
and privilege. You could get into financial status and gender. Means and access, gender, even the age and like decade that you grow up in versus the people around you in which decade they grew up in.
Right. Yes. Oh, yes.
Huge differences and changes. Or think macro and international. You mm-hmm. grew up in Peru, or you grew up in America, or you grew up in England, or the people around you grew up in another world. So they're going to see the world different. So are you first or second or third generation American? You're going to have different expectations about that.
Right.
So, like, we didn't keep any of the Dutch from my grandfather's side. My great-grandparents came over from Holland. But that was in an age when you were expected to assimilate.
Wait, your ancestors American. Come from the place where the evil windmills were born?
Yes. Are they all okay? The windmill cancer are has taken okay? out I'm my like... whole family. Yes.
Windmill cancer.
But they weren't allowed to speak Dutch in the home. So granddad did not grow up speaking Dutch because the expectation was we will assimilate.
Oh, yeah.
We will become English-speaking Americans. So, of course, my mom didn't get any of that from her father, except for the occasional word that snuck through because we just didn't know we were missing it in English.
Right.
I didn't know that the end slice of bread was called the heel, which still sounds weird to me because why would I put a foot word on my food?
Right.
Because we called it the corsi, which is kind of right. a weird slip for korsje, the little crust. It's the only Dutch word that accidentally snuck into my family.
Beck's family.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. And
her
she
family's from Belgium.
Yeah, so the Fladinga. Fladinga?
Fladinga, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hamper. She didn't
Fladinga.
Know, she didn't know what a hamper was until she was like, you know, 10 years old or right. something.
Yeah, the what? Weirdest little words will sneak through. Yeah. But otherwise, we didn't have any of the immigrant language that could be passed on. There was no bilingual familial expectation.
No. Everybody was expected to assimilate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how my mom sees the world is different because of how her parents grew up.
Right.
And in which era, which war was going on. And
how does that... Yeah, exactly. So how that impacts a whole generation of people's expectations of immigrants. You are supposed to assimilate,
right?
Mm-hmm. Leave your culture at home.
And you can see the attitude when people get snotty in stores. Don't speak your other language here because you're in America now, America. And I'm thinking,
I want to send
not see the value
every
of
one of those people to another country where they don't speak the language and they have to go by themselves. Every single one of them.
Just pluck them out.
Just
out
pluck
of their
them and drop them. Plop. Somewhere.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Find your way back to the bus station. You don't speak the language.
I'm going to drop you off by a windmill. See what happens.
These cause cancer.
And yet, if you go to a really healthy school, an education will end up affecting your expectations, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The expectations your teachers have for you. If you go to a really healthy school district that wants to put people into an immersion language program and you get a good Spanish teacher, you assume everybody wants to speak more than one language. You have been given the expectation as a student, hey, two languages are cool. And you end up thinking, okay, fine, that's my expectation. Acquire more languages.
Right, yeah.
So you go for that if that's your environment that you get to be exposed to. But it gets to be that, what does someone else provide an expectation to you from the outside, and then how do you respond to it and turn it into your internal motivations?
Right, like your expectation either a positive yourself. Or a negative.
Exactly.
Way. Right.
Like,
which
so
leads
much
to
of that happens when you're very young too.
Yeah. Right.
The expectations of the people in your life who are in control, your parents, your teachers, etc.
Right. Yeah.
And I was going to mention perfectionism because that's where my brain went in thinking about expectations, and you know, my personal struggles with, if I don't know how to do something, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Versus
the all or nothing.
The all or nothing. And I know that my daughter has that too, and I know other people that have that. Yeah. The all or nothing. But
as a nursery school teacher, I was taught you don't put any kind right. of value judgment on a child's ability to do something. You don't tell them that they're really smart. You don't tell them right. those things, because then they carry it and they identify with it. Right. And when they do fail or struggle, it's a massive blow to their self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And it challenges their self-concept.
Or so, the rare instance, and I count myself ridiculously fortunate that I had parents who said, you can do anything. Right. And then they just kept making it possible for us to do anything. And failures were seen as progress.
Right.
That you had to acquire skills on a slope.
And that's a very rare thing, especially in our culture. It's
ridiculously rare. And I don't know how
I got so lucky. Well, and in our generation, that's exceedingly rare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I got so lucky. I don't know how that dynamic happened in a marriage that fell apart later.
Right.
But I got a family environment that said, oh, yeah, you can do anything. And you're going to do it in pieces. And you're going to acquire and grow from fundamentals. So I used to joke that my superpower was incremental girl. I'm going to learn things in an incremental fashion.
And that's a brilliant way to be. I always thought that if I didn't do it right the first time, I was never going to be able to do it at all.
Right. I think that dance taught me, got me away from that idea.
The all or nothing.
Even though I considered myself a good dancer, I had started to see, you know, I was testing this hypothesis that you could build on mm-hmm. on your ability.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the better it gets. And so that, I feel like that experience, I don't know how long I danced, 10 years maybe?
Yeah, I think it's at least 10 years.
It really changed the way my brain works, because now when I think about doing something, I go, okay, well, what's the first step? I don't instantly go, right. oh my God, I got to be the best at it right away.
I'm going to sit down and do this and it's going to be perfect. Right. Unless, of course, you're at a pottery wheel, which apparently you can do that.
That came out of my inner...
That was your magicalness.
I'm so...
Yay.
But I think there are certain things that people do right the first time. You know what I mean?
And that's fantastic.
There's a certain place in our minds where we're free and we can just sit down at a pottery wheel and make a beautiful bowl. Or,
and you get to see that double thing working in tandem, where one hand you get what's your natural talent and on the other hand is what's your practiced skill.
Right.
Yes. If you don't marry both of them, you're not going to become super awesome expert.
Yeah.
Can't rely on just one or the other. Well, you might be able to rely on just practice skill if you do it with a healthy attitude. But if you rely on just natural magic talent and then you never go anywhere with it,
right.
it only goes so far, I think. That's my expectation.
So what are some forms of magical thinking? What do you guys think? I thought...
In our society today at large, or just
any that you can think of. I was thinking of prayer.
I'm not a huge fan of the... declare it and it'll make it happen.
Right. The law of attraction.
Right. Intention. That's another one, is intention.
I do have a small superstition that I don't say the icky things because I don't want to add the icky things to the world. So I might not declare, and now I am a millionaire. But I also...
don't say, I'll never be a millionaire.
Maybe not that. But I don't like to curse things in the world.
Right.
Most of the time. I mean, politics has been pushing my limit on that, but and I'm 50 now, so I'm crotchety, and I want to put on my cardigan sweater, my lap blanket, sit in my rocking chair, and yell at
you're
the kids on my lawn.
You're the least crotchety person I've ever met.
Well,
so,
maybe that's maybe that's where expectations and hope intersect, is magical thinking. Like the pendulum can kind of swing.
Well, the thing about magical thinking is that sometimes, you know, a broken clock is right at least twice a day. If you're praying for a Winnebago...
I don't understand that.
You don't understand what a Winnebago is?
When
or what?
People, no, when praying people for a thing. Pray for, like, a certain thing to come their way, like...
So, when I used to go to church, when I was in junior high, I went with my best friend at the time because I needed a social group.
Mm-hmm.
And her father was the youth pastor, and on Fridays we would go in and play games and play chess or whatever. And I remember him giving us this little lecture about prayer. And since I wasn't really raised in the church, I didn't understand what the whole thing was. Mm-hmm. So now I was asking him, like, well, what do you pray for? And he said, you can pray for anything. And I was like, anything? He's like, yeah. I go, I can pray for money. And he's like, yes.
That makes me cringe.
I said, I can pray for a new car. Yes. I can pray to look different. Yes. You can pray for all of that. And I always think of that, like, when someone tells me that they're praying for me, I think that's really sweet. That's their belief system. In their mind, they're doing the best that they can in thinking of me. And I don't get offended about that.
Right.
But I do not believe that prayers work in the way that people think. I don't think that there's like a receiver up in heaven receiving prayers. I think that sometimes people think about things enough and they start doing the steps to make them happen.
Yeah, and if you're if your meditation time, your prayer time, your dedicated time for making spells, whatever, your incense, whatever, your planting in the garden time, if that fixes your attitude,
exactly,
that I think does start to affect things around you. Law of Attraction, that was the Gospel of Attraction, or no, what's the
secret?
What's the other one that they did? Prosperity Gospel. Oh God, I hate it when it's applied that way, because that's basically the pastors that are getting you to give money to them because it makes them
greed
rich.
For their new jet. It's just justifying greed in my mind.
Yeah,
but now, my husband is my husband is Christian. And he used to be a little more...
He used to be a little more Christian.
A little more than he is now.
Right.
And he has mellowed out considerably. But I remember one time, the kids were making me crazy, and I said out loud, God, give me patience. And he looked at me and he said, you know, if you ask God for patience, he's just going to give you another opportunity to practice patience.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I wanted to punch him. But he threw it back on me. Basically, it was like, if you want patience, you need to work on some patience. That's on you, and you're going to keep having opportunities to work on this,
like,
until
not hitting your husband.
You master it. So it's it's like it's practicing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just like that's what I'm saying.
Like if a prayer or meditation, just like Kat said, allows you to be a better person or allows you to be kinder to other people, I am all about it.
Right.
But I don't believe that it's a transactional thing. Like, I'm going to pray for a trip around the world and here it comes, you know?
No.
No.
But just the wishful thinking does not fix the society crap.
No.
You have a chronic illness, you can't just wish it away.
Right.
No.
If your brain has a chemical imbalance, go get the chemicals from the pharmacy. That's perfectly fine.
Get
help.
It's, you know, just because your body didn't make the chemical doesn't mean that your body doesn't need the chemical. So, hey, we put it in this cute little, you know, childproof cap bottle.
So easy.
Go get it. It's great. Or if you find that a change in your diet makes things better for you, feel free to adopt that. That's awesome. That's great. But just wishing for opportunities does not get rid of gerrymandering and bank loans being denied you because you're black, or the water in Flint is not better based on prayer. There's going to need to be actual actions from people with power and money. And if we've got people who are ruining stuff, get new people.
Right.
So that can't be done with just expectations. And
so you're saying hope with action behind it.
Yes.
Expectations that are positive with action behind them.
Yeah, I mean, if one expects the United States of America to take care of its citizens and make sure that everybody has clean water, clean drinkable water, then you had better make sure that that happens. I mean, that's a reasonable...
Bare minimum.
That's a great idea. It's a very reasonable idea, but you can't just pray about it. You can't just hope that it happens. You do. You have to go to the polls. You have to vote. You have to pay attention. You have to read. You have to listen.
And we have to find the evil in our society and root it out actively.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because, you know, I have a white privilege with my skin. I expect that people in the bank are probably going to treat me like I'm allowed to be in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the store, and I don't have security guards walking around checking to make sure I'm not shoplifting.
Right.
That expectation, though, I need to be aware of is different for people who have a different experience.
Right.
Then I can have the empathy for them.
I have an idea.
What?
Ooh. Well, it just occurred to me because we've been talking a lot about women in society, and
I wrote down some things about what women are expected.
Right. Of. So, what is expected of women? What do women expect of themselves, and how do we behave out in the world with our own expectations? Do we behave as if we should be afraid? Do we behave with fear that?
That something bad is about to happen?
Not that that's going to magically make something bad happen, but human beings have an innate ability to read body language.
Mm-hmm.
And something I've been trying to pay attention to lately is my body language around certain people.
Yeah.
And so if I'm feeling intimidated by... say the creepy guy who worked at our house, and I see him, and I hunch my shoulders, and I put off the message that I expect to be treated poorly, rather than walking out my front door with my head up, like, come on, bring it on, dude.
But that's a little bit of victim blaming. That's a little bit of you going, oh, it's all my fault that he came over and talked to me. No.
I'm not saying that it's victim blaming, but I think it's something worth thinking about. How do those signals get digested by other people? I saw somebody just recently and I could tell she was not in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself behaving extra tender around her.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I hugged her repeatedly.
Mm.
She wanted the hug, by the way. All of them. But I responded to her differently. Mm-hmm. And so how does that work? I mean, what are the expectations?
I guess what you're saying is that women expect to be accosted or assaulted or molested in some way when they go out into public.
Absolutely not okay. Absolutely not okay. But there's an interaction there.
I think you're walking a very fine line.
I think I am too, but I also think that it's worth
thinking about.
Considering. I mean, what would happen if we walked out and noticed that we were feeling on edge or fearful and changed the mindset?
Well, somehow. I think...
Do women who have martial arts abilities, do they carry themselves differently? Are they more... You know what I mean?
I think mm-hmm. that the root of violence against women, I want to flip the script slightly and say that as a group that is already safe, so a large crowd bringing a message or people who've established themselves in power or they've gotten their friends around them for support, they can then stand up and say, I expect something different.
Mm-hmm.
I demand something different. I demand change. I demand that the judges start actually sentencing the rapists.
Mm-hmm.
I demand that the universities crack down on the behavior of the students and the faculty who are being perpetrators. And I demand that society take this seriously. I feel much safer putting a lot of energy into that than wondering, how should I walk down a dark alley? I'm going to still expect that people might attack me when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I will still try to establish safe routes for me based on those expectations and what evidence do I have for different neighborhoods or what assumptions do I have about different neighborhoods. But I definitely don't want to... put the blame on myself for a reaction, especially when it's just an emotional reaction. Creepy dude, freaking me out, and I curl up on myself. That's all right. That is just my response that day.
Well, once again, I'm not saying, I don't mean this to be a broad action,
okay.
Not across the board,
but good.
Like in my case with this guy that I know who has intimidated me.
Mm.
Right.
I am behaving a certain way around him, and I shouldn't. I should not have to, I should not be behaving that way.
Right.
And so that's where the...
Is it okay, though, to let go of the word should?
Should, yeah. It just happened.
I mean...
I guess, but I can be mindful about it. Yeah. You know, yes. When I catch right. myself totally sneaking around yes. and shrinking and feeling less than because of this fucking asshole who is a clueless fucking dumbass. Why am I afraid of this fucker?
Say fuck one more time.
Fucker. I could probably take him down, frankly.
Probably.
I probably could.
I'm afraid of you?
Yeah, you should be. See? So that's my mindset in that particular case. I'm still not going to be... I'm still holding my keys in my hand when I walk to the car from the grocery store at night. You know what I mean? Like,
my friend Kelly, the one that lives in Boston, had taken a very like intense self-defense course over months. And the one thing that I remember her telling me afterwards was, if you see a man walking towards you at night, you're alone, he's alone, make eye contact with him. Uh-huh. They actually will get a little bit afraid mm-hmm. if they see your eyes, because then you've seen them.
Right.
Do you want to hear my list of expectations of women? Are you guys yes. ready?
Oh. I made a little list too.
I'm already upset.
Lay it on me. The need to be warm or nice.
Oh, yeah.
We are expected to
supposed to be nice.
Nice.
Why aren't you smiling? It's not pretty when you smile. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
I'm going to smile with my fucking fist in your face.
Sorry. High heels and makeup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Sexualizing.
I have ignored that society expectation for years.
Yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah, I got cranky about that one, I think, 15 years ago.
Especially the high heels one. No.
It's like, no.
Right.
No.
It's a handicap. High heels are a handicap.
If you think about it in the paradigm of, like, Chinese foot binding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, these two things are very similar.
Or you put a hobble on a horse so it can't get away.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just treat us like beasts. That's a great idea.
Not. And as a former body worker, I have worked on people who have worn high heels so long that their tendons shrink and they can't wear regular shoes. Yep.
Yeah.
I had a roommate, couldn't walk in flat shoes, could barely walk barefoot.
Oh, yeah.
No. She had to put heels on.
Yeah. Oof. She's been hobbled. Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, shaving.
Oh, we've been down that road.
Number four, the majority of the cooking and cleaning in whatever household mm-hmm. you're in. Oh, I know you probably don't yeah. have that. Yeah. Her significant
too.
Other cooks and cleans.
Too.
And works from home and has decided that is actually some of the time that he will spend.
And he gives you flowers all the time.
That's something different entirely. That's because he's adorable.
He's adorable. All right, number five, that we all want kids.
Right, exactly, Ziggy. That's not true.
Right. Ziggy's very vocal today.
He is.
That we're all complicated. We're not complicated. We just need respect. That's it.
Yeah.
If you don't respect... Okay, we all are complicated. So are you.
Humans are, yeah.
Everyone's complicated. We're no more complicated right. than you are. That we shouldn't swear.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You know what? Fuck you and fuck that too.
I save up my swears so that they have more impact. So when you hear me say fuck you...
It's
that it really makes people go, wait, what?
What?
You haven't desensitized everybody with an F-bomb every 3 words.
Are we in trouble? Yes, you are. The fuck off my lawn.
It actually bothers me when Kim tries not to cuss because I know that she cusses a lot. And then when we're recording and she says B words or the S word or whatever, I'm always like, all right. Number eight, my favorite one, carrying the emotional load. We are expected to carry the emotional loads. Yeah.
Yep. And the mental workload.
Just all, yeah, the mental workload.
The mental workload. Yeah. That one, I've been battling that one lately.
Yeah, me too.
And I've kind of let go of a lot of it. And I've let people know I'm not managing this project anymore. This is not my project.
Right.
This is your project. You manage it. I'm not nagging. I'm not documenting. I'm not making lists. I'm not thinking about it. Bye-bye.
Number nine, we are expected to have no opinion.
Silly.
Who has that expectation?
Yeah, I never.
I don't know that that one's a common one for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, I think I came from a world where we are absolutely expected to be opinionated. Will our opinions be listened to? No. But it was expected that we had opinions and that nobody wanted to hear them.
Maybe in polite mid-century life. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about your opinions.
Yes. Expected that you have them and that you will keep them to yourself.
You know what? I have experienced that with some older women in a social group.
Hmm.
No, opinions are not expressed at all. There are certain things that these women will talk about, and it's not big ideas, it's not opinions, it's not philosophy, it's not sociology, it's not politics.
Yeah.
It's food, family members, and other people.
And clothing, I'm guessing? Shopping? Which leads me to number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Women love to shop. I personally hate shopping.
Hate shopping. Ziggy, do you like to shop?
No!
No shopping.
So, do you have anything to add on your list about the...
when I first brainstormed about what feeds our expectations, what we're exposed to, what we internalized, what we're... having to deal with around us. My list is, here we go. Our childhood experience will feed our expectations. In our family, what's our sibling order? Mm-hmm. Like, you're the eldest, so this is what's expected of you, says the eldest girl.
Me too.
Eldest grandchild on both sides. Every cousin is younger than me. No pressure there. Relationships that we either have or didn't get to have or fell apart or went well, that'll change our expectations. Our access to education and what that experience was like. Did you have the ability to go to college? What kind? Was anyone expected to go to college or not? How were you expected to behave in your junior high, high school, or post high school experience?
Or were you told, never mind.
What? There's no never minds.
Outside pressures to perform.
Yeah.
So are they expecting specific types of grades? Are they expecting that you're going to take care of your siblings? Are they expecting you to have the laundry done? Do you have to be the mom because there's somebody emotionally unavailable to be the mom? Whatever those outside pressures are. You get to have personal goals and accomplishments. Have you ever embraced that, and how does that change your expectations? Because maybe you're not given the space to create your own personal goals. You have to, like, adopt everybody else's.
Right.
Or you had the freedom and the celebration to create a personal goal, and that means your experience is different and your expectation is different if that was encouraged in you and not everyone around you had that. Or you had that and you have to remember that you don't get to, like, push that on others. How does that affect us?
Right.
But then I got to the society list. Treatment based on our religion, our skin color and our privilege, what our name is, so that we might assume what someone's religion or race or social class is based on your name.
I hadn't thought about that.
Your perceived gender, your financial access, your education, your physical accessibility. For example, the word autism. Not a lot of people know what the word autism means. Hearing privilege over the deaf community or the hard of hearing.
I've never heard that word.
If you assume that absolutely everybody can hear at all times, closed captions are just a nicety, or they're annoying and they're in the way, or why do I have to have equipment for a movie theater because deaf people don't want to watch movies? That's nonsense. You know, have we got biases that we expect people to have physical abilities? Or do we want to fix people who have disabilities or conditions? Are we trying to fix autism? Right. Maybe that doesn't need to be fixed.
Right.
You know,
said it's an evolutionary
step. Yeah.
Body size and the fat phobia that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And are we giving into the society or family or group pressure around you that you must look a certain way?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or do you assume health based on body size? because health does not correlate exactly to everyone's body size.
No.
Your age and the ageist attitudes of, oh, once you're old enough to be invisible, we don't care about you anymore.
Yeah. Which we've talked about on the show before, exactly. How freeing that can be for us, though.
There are ways in which it relieves us of some expectations. Right. The heteronormative expectations about all relationships.
That's getting better, though, don't you think?
Oh, this toddler, he's such a lady killer. No, he's two. You don't get to pimp him out already. Oh, she's going to have all the boys falling all over her. She's two.
Look how pretty she is.
She's so pretty. Yeah. Oh, you're so strong. Mm-hmm. And just assuming, based on perceived gender, what that gender is going to do in relationship to other genders. And assuming that the world wants to be in partners that are only couples, that are only monogamous, that are only doing civil marriage,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. What your accent is like. And the assumption, if I hear somebody speaking with a Southern drawl, or a New York borough accent,
right.
Or something from the Appalachias, and are they sounding like they're a redneck, and what's my assumption about that? Do they sound like they come from a prestigious university? Do they sound like they come from the street? Do I hear them change their accent based on their audience? So they're code switching.
Yep.
They're used to sounding black over here, and they're used to sounding white over here, and there's nothing wrong with it because it changes the assumptions and the expectations of the people they're with. How they speak. All the invisible chronic conditions.
Oh, God, yes.
And the assumptions and the expectations that go with, you shouldn't be parking in a handicap zone because you don't look handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the shame that society shows towards any sexual expression. So the slut shaming and no healthy response about sexuality.
Right.
It's like making everything
American
crazy.
American society is very unhealthy. About sex and mm-hmm. and bodies. Yeah. Just bodies, our yeah. bodies. I mean, they're not objects.
And then my last silly one, in America specifically, the pop culture references that we assume everybody knows the same movies, the same music, the same fashion, the same toys as a child.
Yeah.
They're not as universal as we think. And this is where I live under a rock compared to you guys. I don't have the same musical experience at all. So when you guys have talked about the albums you grew up with and the music you grew up with, I'm like, I don't know any of those.
But I think now there's so much music
yes.
out there. And it's so, I've got playlists on my phone from my son's girlfriend. And it is so varied. I mean, she's got 80s pop songs and things. I don't know what it is.
I don't know some of the references from movies from our growing up years where I'm like, I never watched 16 Candles and I never watched most of the, is it John Hughes?
John Hughes, okay, yeah.
I didn't watch most of those. There's a whole swath of things people assume based on my age and being a white American lady who was raised in Ohio and moved to California, and therefore you would know all this stuff, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know that.
So what would be, for you, say, because we were talking about music and you hadn't heard of it, what would be...
or I didn't listen to it.
What would be a good fix for that kind of situation in your mind?
I think just remembering that not everybody shares exactly the same experiences of growing up. It's just a simple... I remember that I live under a rock.
Oh.
And I don't know every movie reference, and I don't know every music reference, so I don't assume anybody around me has watched all the same movies and
I don't
music.
Either. I mean, yeah. And I don't retain a lot of that stuff. If it's important to me, I'll retain it. And if I'm interested in it, I'll learn more about it. But
it just entertains me sometimes. It makes me giggle. When I realize, oh, look at all the people around me who know the thing that I don't know
that I don't know about.
So it's a small expectation. It doesn't do anything to me.
Right.
When people expect that, of course you know this movie. Of course you've...
And that doesn't reflect poorly on you.
No. I mean, except for when we joke that I live under a rock.
Right. But it's...
Doogie.
I mean...
So that was a tiny one that didn't really have a lot of impact.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where you start to see the bias inherent in the system. You know? Some well, of our biases are not bad. They're just funny.
Right.
Well, and it's...
It's like when people don't know the word for hamper. Or you don't know the word heel right. for a slice of bread. It doesn't have any impact. It can be even amusing. It can be a right. fun cultural exchange. But we have heavy and weighty expectations. And then we have silly, fluffy ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a cool thing about humanity. That we're not all exactly the same and have the same experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. But we look for things that we can share with other people.
Yeah. We do. We love connection. Mm-hmm. We love to find ways to belong.
Right.
Look, these are my peeps. I have found my people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's yeah. a great thing. Except for when it gets out of hand and becomes a tribalism for attacking others.
If it's about connecting with people, that's great. If it's about excluding people, that's a whole different ball of wax. And mm-hmm. then that's something.
And when you first posed this question, there was this offhanded remark about, shouldn't we have expectations for our government? And shouldn't we expect mm-hmm. maybe some of our leaders in government have an IQ higher than a beet or a rutabaga? I have often had that expectation, and my expectation has been dashed into an assumption with no evidence at all.
Right.
I thought about that long and hard, and I do expect the President of the United States to be a well-read, intelligent human being who is way more educated than me.
And has a grasp of the Constitution. Has a grasp of the
Constitution, understands how our government works, and has a strong ethical base.
And I originally had an expectation that criminal behavior would be punished. And I've just been shattered for the last couple of years that the expectation is that money will get you out of anything.
Yes.
Or and I'm hating
being a white
that.
Man.
Yeah, old white men.
Well, they've got all the money.
I mean, we all talked about this the last time yeah. we were together when we did the Rage yeah. episode about I was so upset that I didn't even realize that there was another system in place mm-hmm. for white men.
Yeah.
I didn't even money. It never crossed my mind.
It's all about the money. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think by exposing it, though, and this is where my hope has been clinging desperately to a raft so I don't die and drown.
You have a hope raft.
My hope raft is that by having exposed more of the corruption than usual, that we've started to galvanize and empower people to break the broken systems and start to establish things that met our original expectations. I don't know if there's any evidence that the breaking and the building is going to happen.
It's bound to. That's the cycle.
But we did have a really good midterm election.
We did. Lots of people came out for that.
And the people that we put into office have gone in expecting to do work. Mm-hmm. Which has shattered the expectations of people who say, sit down, shut up, this is the way things are done. And the new crop...
And they're doing the work that they feel passionate and have conviction about, not just doing whatever everybody else was already right. doing.
They're not yeah. hamster right. wheeling it.
Right.
Right. And a lot of these are women.
Yes.
Who are saying, guess what, your expectations of me... Not going to happen. Right. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to keep my opinions to myself. I'm not going to
Did
be
you guys
a victim.
See Katie Porter grilling that banker dude?
She's the one with the book. Let me show you the textbook.
She
that
wrote,
I wrote
the textbook.
I
that
loved
she was
her.
Citing, giving this guy the what for oh, about what that. He pays his.
The CEO of Chase.
Chase.
She attacked
oh, yeah.
The
no,
CEO
no, no. I did.
Chase.
I saw that one.
And that was incredible.
She broke that down. And there's a deficit of $500 and some odd. This does not include health care. This doesn't include
so
clothes.
I pulled out my calculator and lunches. I did the math of how much more per hour should that
person
entry level person earn in order to cover the deficit and still live at that minimum. She just needed to be paid $20 an hour.
That's it?
From 15 and change to 20 an hour covered the math that Katie Porter had pulled up. And I was like,
that math
holy
didn't
crap.
Even include
it included
clothes
nothing.
Or health care. And I thought,
did it include child care either? I
yes,
don't
it had child care.
It did. Oh.
It was $450 for child care.
Child care
for
costs more than that, by the
so
way.
Chase,
in this
so Chase
average place,
does not provide health
basic.
Insurance. For their employees, their full-time
well,
employees.
Well, most corporations now will keep you just under
right.
the full-time status.
What is it, 30,
32 hours.
Yeah.
But without even going into that level of crazy math, just taking her bare minimum of a life of poverty as a mm-hmm. single mom with a six-year-old in that story, yeah. she only had to make $20 an hour to not be in debt, $576 per month.
You know what I say? Cat for Congress.
Yes. No, I'm fundamentally more interested in being a little bit lazier.
Yeah, me too.
You have to work really, really uh-huh. hard there. That's my expectation, is that if I were in Congress, I would have to work hard.
You would work hard.
I would, in fact.
You would take your job seriously.
But I don't think
you do.
I really
take every single thing you do very seriously.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather make thread. Can I make thread for
you
a living?
You are doing that right now. I'd like to give a shout out to our listeners in the UK.
Woo!
The past few days, we've had more listeners from England than we've had from the United States.
Wow. Really?
This could be because everyone is fucking flat out laid down on the ground, huddled in a fetal position here in the United States over the Mueller fiasco.
And they've got Brexit going on over there and all kinds of stuff. They've got
maybe they have a lull in Brexit.
They had some new delays. It was postponed again.
Yeah, they've got a lull.
But still, it's hanging over their heads. It's like,
so let's go tune in to how the American women are dealing with it in California.
Not very well, everyone. Not very well.
We're cussing a lot and hanging out with our dogs and our friends and drinking wine occasionally. And sometimes
that would have been nice.
The
we
cannabis.
Should have done that.
Oh, we have some wine here that you left.
Oh, it's way too late now.
It's too late now. Next time. I also wanted to start planting the seed in people's minds that we are coming up on a year.
Oh my gosh.
What? A whole year?
Yes, a whole year.
June. My goodness.
In June, yeah, the middle of June.
Right and around Cassie's birthday.
Dun,
flag
day.
Which is also flag day.
Did you launch the podcast close to your birthday?
It just happened to coincide with it.
Wow.
We had been talking about it, we had a couple of meetings and things, and I think it just sort of happened that way.
Just poofed.
So I know that one of the questions that you'd also posed is, how do we change our expectations?
Yes.
Did you have thoughts on that?
My main thing, the I'm going to boil it down here, is to stop assuming. Just stop assuming.
Right. And kind of check
yourself.
My lesson learned was, check in with yourself once in a while when you put something out, either, you know, verbally or however, when you're interacting with somebody else, what are the expectations? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are they? Are they realistic? Are you going to be disappointed? Are you going to schlep around some resentment for no good reason?
Right. That's what I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
What about you?
I try to think about, like, if somebody needs a coaching moment and they're receptive to it, then you can start talking about how would you change expectations. I usually like to think, step one, don't beat yourself up. You're never going to get a better expectation if everything is about punishing yourself.
Right.
Right.
So you do have to just call quits on the beat yourself up routine. And if that's your first habit that you're changing, then we start establishing what are the incremental ways to change that habit.
Do some problem solving.
Yeah.
Instead of, ruminating.
Also, one thing that I did as a woman in this society and in my particular paradigm and body is that I had to work every day at the idea that I didn't have to apologize for existing.
Yeah.
Every single day, and I still do it.
And I don't know any white men that apologize for existing every day. So that's not their paradigm.
I went out with my niece. We went to LACMA the other day because she's moving back to Las Vegas. And she wants to do all the things that she hasn't done in the 5 years that she's been here. But I was coming around a corner and an old white man and I ran into each other. And I said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And he said nothing and kept walking. And I instantly was like, "Oh shit, I did it again."
Right.
I was hard on myself in that moment because I've been working on that so hard. And it was my first reaction. My first reaction was, "Oh shit, I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
And then I thought,
why?
Wait, why? That guy wasn't sorry.
It was an accident,
And it was an accident, and I'll never see that guy. Like, so
it's a really interesting exercise to really pay attention mindfully to, like, I've gone to the grocery store with the intention to, I'm going to pay attention to my initial reaction to whoever I come face to face with in the car, who I'm going to let go in front of me, all of that stuff. And it's really, there's a whole freaking steamer trunk to unpack with that kind of shit.
And I try to understand, you know, where in the hell did this whole entitled thing come from? You know, sometimes it's young people without a lot of experience feeling entitled that the world is just going to hand them things. And you're like, no, I need to teach you about your part in this. It's not going to be handed to you. But then the entitled rich guy thing that's been exposed in the last couple of years, and I'm like, okay, I didn't know you were that entitled and that your riches got you that much. So how are we going to break that system?
Because I'll tell you how. You don't let them get in front of you when you're driving on the road.
Oh, perfect.
That's what I do. You driving a Tesla?
Fuck you. Okay, go ahead.
Ain't gonna happen, Cadillac man.
My sister got to buy a Tesla, so I can't universally all Teslas are crappy men, but, you know.
Okay.
Bless her cute little heart. Land Rover?
No.
I feel really crappy about giant cars around me. Yeah. Because they tend to be more entitled because they're giant.
Yeah.
But I also like to drive little tiny cars, so I noticed that. But, so you have to figure out what is your response to the world. Right. Are you behaving like a spoiled brat? Okay, how are we going to change your expectations? Are you behaving like everything's your fault? Right. How do we change those expectations? Mm-hmm. So you do have to have a step one self-analysis, figure out which step one you're on, because we're all not starting on the same spot on the board.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're clearly not all at start at go together. Mm-hmm. Tens of people have gotten ahead in the game long before I got a chance to get the dice and roll. But then when you are on your path, it is a matter of determining, I think, what is your decision versus what is someone else's decision for you?
Yes.
And finding permission to establish your own expectations and goals yourself, where you're allowed to find your own passion. Because there's a whole group of people who are never allowed to make their own expectations for themselves. So
undifferentiated ego mass.
She's learning a lot right now.
I don't know
now.
How in to families, unpack that phrase.
In families. Oh, okay. So families that have very definite expectations of everyone's behavior, despite the fact they're all individuals.
In a negative or a positive way.
In a negative or...
Like, well, that's the bad kid.
Kind of... No, it's more like, these are the things that you need to do to fit in with us. Oh, okay. It is like... It is... the epitome of unhealthy. It's not good. So a family is supposed to be like a family. We all love each other. We're all different and we still love each other, and you go do your thing and you go do yours and come on back when you need to, and you know what I mean? But an undifferentiated ego mass has very specific rules for behavior, for actions, for just about everything you can think of. Who you're going to marry, who's acceptable, what opinions are acceptable and which ones aren't. And to remove oneself from that undifferentiated ego mass is very difficult and
painful.
That's
like cutting off an arm.
It is.
But and when you decide to establish your boundaries, you're going to cause some pain in that group.
Well, kind of. Not really. The pain comes from differentiating. But what happens is, then you gain the respect of the ego mass because you've gotten away, basically. You've pulled out and you've said, oh, look at me, I'm different. Hi, I'm still here and I love you guys and that's great. And they're like, oh, okay.
I guess you'll be the black sheep. So we'll treat you like you have different expectations.
Sometimes, but sometimes they just say, oh. That's what I've always wanted to do, and you did it. Do you know what I mean? It's a it's a really interesting thing that we're exploring in therapy.
And I guess that matches really well with the notion that you get to decide what your personal goals and motivations are, and if you're ready to differentiate yourself from it and separate, then do it.
Right. Exactly.
And you know that you don't want to participate in the group think that's no longer healthy.
Well, and if you're led to believe that you have to behave a certain way that just goes against your grain, that is yeah. not you, to belong to people who are supposed to love you unconditionally. It's conditional love is what it is, yeah. basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, what a horrible prison to be in, yeah. you know, to try to get out of that.
So and it sounds like changing our expectations is a lot of self-awareness and a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Like all the other things we talk yay. About. Damn it!
What did you get in the quiz? I got
questioner.
The questioner. Yeah. That's what I thought when I read through the things.
Which fit me perfectly because, mm-hmm. I always need to know all the things.
You need all of the information.
I have to have all of
what
it.
What quiz was this?
Oh, Kim and I took a quiz. It was about your reactions to expectations. For yourself and others.
Oh, I totally want to see this.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll post it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
You mean you'll include the link in the show notes?
You have to talk to her.
Yes, I will do it.
Yay!
I will do it.
She looks exasperated.
Oh my God, I will. I swear to God, I will. I'll stay up till midnight tonight.
No, need to sleep tonight.
The expectation is that you're not going to kill yourself over this.
Yes.
And we'll support you rolling it out
well,
in
see,
your best
one
time.
Of, one of my one of my subconscious expectations of myself is that I will fail.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And so I...
Is that an assumption
with
no
evidence?
I find
ways to make that happen so that I'm not wrong.
Oh.
Right? That makes sense.
I think you lost some hope in that one.
Well,
I just want to hug your soul right now.
That's one of the things I've realized about myself recently is that I'm always trying to make other people happy.
Hmm.
That's kind of my go-to.
Right.
And that has been brought home in a lot of really freaky different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, you know when the universe is trying to tell you something and they're just like flinging poo at you. Like, here, can you see it yet? Hello? Okay, here's
all right.
Some more.
15th sign? How about a 16th sign? Let's
yeah.
give you a 37th
exactly.
sign.
So it's been just coming at me super fast. And this one just broke my brain. I was like, oh, fuck.
She,
I
in
have
the quiz,
to fix this.
She got the, what was it called? Caregiver?
The,
making people happy
it
giver?
Basically, yeah, that that my...
Pleaser. Something
pleaser
like that.
Pleaser was something. Anyway, I'm not going to look for it now. So it's time for me to change that.
Ooh.
I have to change that now. And I'm procrastinating.
But here's
I know
the cool
it.
Thing.
It's like, okay, universe, I
it's
know.
It's not all or nothing. Tiny
right.
little incremental steps.
Tiny little thing. And I've been working on that. Like I said, you know, when it's assumed that I will take care of something that is not my, it's not my plan, it's not my project, I've put a boundary there. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to
awesome.
Take care of that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to bend over backwards to make sure that you have Flamin' Hot Cheetos tomorrow evening. I'm not going to go to the grocery store again to buy you the thing that I forgot the first time.
Right.
Go get it yourself.
Go get it, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I'm getting there.
Yay!
I'm getting there.
Well, Kat, are you still teaching? Do you want to plug your show? Your show? You want to plug your show?
I am still teaching belly dance in the American Tribal Style ATS world, and if you are in the Southern California area and you're near Los Angeles on a Sunday afternoon in North Hollywood or out in Ventura County in Oxnard on a Tuesday night, I have both beginning brand new fundamentals classes and intermediate classes at both locations now.
And you will never, ever, ever, ever in the history of your whole entire life have a teacher that is as supportive and excited and enthusiastic as Miss Kat here.
Thank you.
She's not going to expect you to walk onto the floor and be perfect.
Nope.
Oh, no.
One step at a time.
We have skill building, and we're going to acquire it at different rates, and it's going to be awesome. And you know what I wear almost every single class? Is a felt belt with little circles on it that I got from Kat.
Aww.
I used to stare at that belt when I was a student, and she was up front teaching.
I loved that belt.
I still wear it. It It has awesome juju.
Are they mirrors? Are they little?
No, they're little felt circles.
Oh,
The whole belt is wool, and it's got wool like wool little medallions.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So I'm doing that, and then I also do a lot of textiles production. Mm-hmm. So I teach people how to spin, or I'm into Andean backstrap weaving. In the style that is taught amongst the indigenous people of the Andes. And
so where can people find you?
So you can find me online at kswanndance, CAYSWANN dance, or you can find me as kswan on Instagram and kswan on Twitter, and look for kswan crafts. And
yeah, if you like fiber arts, it's like Kat's Instagram is like a fiber art porn.
That's what I'm going to call it. I follow you on Instagram.
Kswan. You can find me there.
We'll look you up.
Hey, Kim, where can people find the Curio podcast?
They can find the Curio podcast anywhere podcasts are procured.
Oh.
Yes, it's true.
That's spectacular.
Apple podcasts.
Google Play. Google Play.
Podomatic.
Oh, also, did you notice that I did a thing on our Twitter? People can now buy us a coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I need to buy you a coffee.
Go to the at Podcast Curio on the Twitter, and you can buy us a coffee.
Wow.
And if you like buy us... I also like to go check out curiopodcast.org.
Yes.
Love coffee.
And the Curio Podcast group on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Where sometimes I'll get excited about the conversation we had each week. And which pens are appropriate to use
in
2019.
Yeah.
I'm Pilot Precise V5, and I like the combo pack of black, blue, and red, because occasionally I need extra colors.
Okay.
Or black, blue, red, green, and purple, if I'm really fancy that day.
Wow, that's
but beyond that, it's really kind of just silly, and that's just art supplies after that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Pens are important.
I liked the pen discussion.
I dropped my pen the other day, and...
Oh no!
Bent the tip and it was terrible, and I had to write it out.
It's that time again. We've
got to
sing ourselves out. What should we sing, dear cat?
It's time to change your expectations, babe. Time to change your expectations. Incrementally, please. Don't work too hard at it. It's time to change your expectations. Curio.